The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with Super Value Travel Insurance. Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance online at supervalue.ie.
Now, the woman sitting in front of me at the moment is a freelance journalist and broadcaster, and if you were ever to take a look at her Facebook page, you'd see that she's living life to the full. In fact, look at her face right now in front of me. She's living life to the full. Very close to the family and her friends, holidays, fun, all that sort of thing. But behind this, Tanya Sweeney fights depression. Tanya, good morning to you. Tanya, I mean, you've been on the radio with me a few times before, and obviously this is a brand new thing to me. So when did you first start to suffer from depression? Is that even the right phrase?
Well, like, no, we prefer experience depression, right. Suffer from depression is problematic language, but I think what happened was my mum, which I've talked about plenty on the radio, died in 2011, and I think that sort of set me off just on this very, I was exhausted after it, you know. She was sick for a few years and I was just incredibly drained, and I found about a year afterwards I was not able to really get out of bed. You know, I was waking up and going, God, it's really not worth my while. And as a freelance journalist who, you know, I live and work on my own, so it's very easy to kind of fall through the cracks and your behaviour goes a little bit unchecked, you know. So yeah. I think I just remember starting, and it's one of those things where, you know, I didn't even quite notice myself that things were going a little bit wrong. You know, I had a friend turn around to me one day and go, you do understand that you've kind of fallen down the rabbit hole a little bit. Maybe you should go to a doctor about this. And that scared me to think that, you know, someone could see that in me, you know.
So, and did you not realise that there might have been outward signs? And now you do realise there are outward signs because somebody has seen them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, sometimes you just think, you know what, I just really like to sleep a lot, or I really like, yeah, I'm really tired. You know, you don't necessarily equate that with depression, you know. But I went along to my doctor, and my doctor asked me a number of questions, and she went, you are textbook. You are so acutely depressed. It's really quite staggering.
Let's go pre-2011. There's no such thing as depression at all. Are you saying mum's death triggered it?
I'm not sure.
It was always there,
This is the thing. It's like, you know, I started to sort of study psychology, and it's such an imprecise science and we just know so little about it, you know, and it's very, very hard to map the coordinates of any one person's, like, you know, the origin of their condition, you know. So I think all I can say is before 2011, you know, I've always been quite hard on myself. I've always been very goal oriented. And I think it was just, I felt a tiredness at life, you know, and that sort of came, you know, became an anxiety, became a sort of a despair, you know, that kind of way. That's the only way I can really describe it. I went to my doctor, asked me some questions,
and
she said, you are so badly. And I was like, I don't really want to go on medication. And she said, it would be very irresponsible of me to let you back out into the world without going on medication. And it was a very, very lonely and sad day for me because I was in a boots, you know. I went into the pharmacy with my prescription. I was actually very ashamed, which sounds weird, but I was like, I'm obviously not able to, I'm losing at life. I am not on top of things. And it's a really horrible moment. And I'm sure anyone who has picked up a prescription for psychotropic medication feels like that.
Lots of people are losing at life. Lots of people realise that, you know, that their jobs aren't going too well. Mm. Lots of people realise they'll never pay their mortgage. Lots of people realising that, we spoke just the other day on the programme about, mm-hmm, having a midlife crisis and others, doesn't necessarily lead to the word depression, does it? Or mental health. I mean, are we talking here about somebody, like, do you have a mental illness?
Well, I mean, depression is considered a mental illness, you know. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm psychotic or I've any other disorders, you know, but the condition just manifests itself in, the thing is, you know, people are sad and they feel like they're not on top of life, but a lot of people don't end up in bed for days on end.
Which you did earlier this year, is what you're saying.
Well, it happened. I mean, like you said at the top of the item, I'm a freelance journalist and it's an incredibly precarious profession at the moment. And I think I got to a point where I was pitching away to a lot of newspapers. There was a couple of changes in my career, and that sort of triggered another sort of episode, you know, and it was the depths of winter as well. And again, a friend went, I think you need to address this. Again, it took someone from the outside to say it.
Okay,
you know?
But like, you did mention in your article, like, career-induced anxiety is one of the things you said, but you also said, like, a permanent exhaustion of the soul.
Yeah, I just felt like so tired, and I was just like, oh gosh, am I still having to get up and go places and do things? I was just so, I mean, my doctor called it being cosmically depleted. I don't really know what that means, but yeah, life backs you into a corner sometimes.
Do you think there's a stigma attached to actually this business of going into boots was the start of the stigma, if you like?
Absolutely.
It's alive and well and living in the world, yeah?
Oh, I really do believe that, yeah. And I wrote that into the piece last week, you know. I think that if you were to tell people that you're, I mean, people don't disclose it in the workplace, you know, it's not something you just walk into somewhere and go, hey.
Whereas if you had a broken foot or you had to get an operation, that might even be a kind of a slightly embarrassing one. Hey, you'll still say it.
Yeah,
not
well,
that.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I work in an office now and I disclosed that I'm on medication at the moment. And it was slightly awkward, actually. I won't lie, you know.
And would you have been somebody who would have put your own stigma onto taking antidepressants, if you like? Would you have seen yourself as abnormal or a druggie or dysfunctional, possibly?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't see myself as that because
no,
the
but
very
might
fact
you
is,
have done that and then like gone into boots, as you say, was
well,
the start
absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely. I really did feel like I was failing. You know, it felt like a failure. But I know now that it, you know, it allows me to have a normal life. Like I say, last weekend I went out and had a ball.
So thumbs up antidepressants.
Well, I mean, I know not everyone thinks that way, but for me, they work, you know. And but I mean, again, I think people have this idea that people on antidepressants might be a bit of a zombie or they're medicated and, you know, they're not necessarily, you know, on the grid, so to speak. But we are. I'm on them right now.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But that's why I wrote this article. And it was like, we really do need to start thinking about this entirely differently, you know, and someone needed to stick their head above the parapet on this. And I was that person.
Okay, and they work in terms of making you feel you do not have any kind of depression and you genuinely
don't. I understand that, you know, I mean, you can get.
So like, is it lying down there somewhere, the depression, and could easily come back up if you weren't taking the drugs?
I have no idea how that will work. But all I can say is I am able to live my life normally.
As in, like, somebody who doesn't have depression.
Yeah, I can get out of bed and go to work and, you know, I can interact with people and not fret about whether I'm able to pay my mortgage.
So would you rather people see you as somebody who has a mental illness, if you like, than somebody who's a whinger? Because some people say, well, get over yourself.
But you see, they're two evils, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we mentioned mental illness. I mean, in Ireland, we go, God, that person's mental. And it's meant in a really pejorative way.
Well, yeah.
You know, and that has to stop as well.
And what does an antidepressant actually do in terms of you? Like, could it be literally on Monday, down as far as I can go, Tuesday,
No. Everything is evened out. So I don't necessarily experience euphoria, you know. But just from a physiological point of view, it's a serotonin enhancer, you know.
Okay.
So it just alters my brain chemistry,
but
really.
But like, when you tell people that you're on meds, how do they react? I mean, how do you think you're, like,
well,
your
I'm incredibly
employers?
Open about my life in every single respect, because as a journalist, I write about myself all the time. So I don't really care what people think. But it can be a little bit, people kind of go, oh yeah, you know, they definitely have a preconceived idea of what someone on meds, I'm doing finger quotes, looks like or acts like, you know, and like you're supposed to be a little bit sort of just off the grid, as I call it. But I'm plugged in. I am so completely plugged into my life right now, you know, whether that's to do with medication or just the, you know, my condition has just passed, you know, through its crisis phase. I don't know. But I'm not about to start messing around with my medication to find out.
Since January, how many months or weeks were you not on antidepressants?
2 months I was off. I came off and I was off antidepressants.
And going back on, you felt you needed to go back on?
Well, again, I went into my doctor and my doctor kind of said, you don't really have a choice in the matter here, you know.
I
have a responsibility as your doctor to do this for you.
Well, now, coming up towards the end of August, what happens next? Or is this a specific period of time?
Well, yeah. I mean, my doctor is incredible and checks in with me very, very regularly. And she rang me last week and she's like, right, how are you feeling? And we talked about that for a very long time. And she was like, right, I think we now may need to look at weaning off, which I actually can't wait to do. And I'm looking forward to that.
Weaning off for this bout or weaning off like for this bunch that you've been going into boots for or forever?
Well, you see, again, it's one of those things where it's an individual thing. I know people who, when they start to mess around with their medication, they go haywire.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a trial and error thing. And you can't really do it on your own. You do need a health professional.
Okay, now, look, I do understand the case of ass or rabbit, you know, whatever. You have no idea what's going to happen in 2017.
Right, but
is there any way you think you might be looking back in 2024 and say, wow, 2015 was the year I was taking all the antidepressants. Thank God I don't do that anymore, no?
Well, I mean, I'd love to think that that would be the way it would work out. But all you can
do is... No guarantee of anything.
Well, exactly. But I mean, anyone listening to this show can't say that they will not be in the same position I was in 5 years' time. It's just life.
But is there a prognosis from the doctor in terms of like the next couple of years or anything? No? Let's take 1 month at
a time. Definitely, yeah. I mean, we will now... There will be a situation where I will come off, and you come off very incrementally, you know, because you don't want your brain to you know, go do lally or whatever. But like... Yeah, it's going to be very incremental, and then we just check in. It's a question of just checking in on yourself.
Okay, but when you go on, is it, yay, thumbs up antidepressants?
No, I mean, you do have 4 or 5 weeks where your brain chemistry is just all over the place. And actually, I felt so much more worse before I got better this time around. I think I went on in March, maybe, and I rang my doctor going, I'm actually worse than I was 6 weeks ago. So we changed brands, you know. This is like the pill or something, you know. It's like you find the brand that suits you. Well, there are certain side effects. I mean, I put on a lot of weight. Your libido ends up basically taking a holiday. You know, there's a lot of side effects, and it's an individual thing, you know. So, but... I'd much rather be overweight than be in bed.
Hitting sort of, I don't know, patches of depression. Do you have to fight to avoid that with the help of the antidepressants, or even at a time when you're not taking them?
I think for me, you know, I have to kind of really check in with myself very regularly, and I can see, you know, the difficult, if I'm feeling very tired, I can see the sort of patterns coming a mile off now. So I know I need to start looking after myself. And there are things you can do, you know. I mean, one of my weird tactics is I like to buy myself fresh flowers a lot. I know that sounds kind of silly, but they really are good at boosting your mood, you know.
The thing here from the Examiner from last Friday says, we are happy to discuss our emotional problems, but not mental illness, according to the findings of a survey of 1,000 Irish adults. We are more at ease admitting to having a physical illness, with almost 6 in 10 ready to do so, compared to just 1 in 10 feeling comfortable with the idea of being mentally ill. And that's a behaviour and attitudes survey, the big whole thing there. People basically shy away from discussing mental illness.
It's now, so true.
And you want people to discuss mental illness, and it's a good thing. But after that, there needs to be more, is what you're saying.
This is the huge problem is, you know, the big sort of party line that a lot of the mental health campaigns takes is, you know, you reach out and, you know, it's good to talk, but who are you going to talk to? And beyond that, you need actual support. And I know this from firsthand experience, and I know this from people I'm very close to. If you go to, I mean, I have health insurance and I have stuff like that, so I'm inured from certain challenges in that regard. But I know people who were feeling very suicidal, and they didn't really know where to go. And they rang up mental health hospitals and were asked for their VHI details. I don't have those. Oh, well, best of luck. Bye-bye. It's €40,000 for a 6-week programme. And even at that, we can't, you know, guarantee that there will be recovery. I've also volunteered in mental hospitals. So I've seen a lot of this from, you know, I've been at the coalface, you know, for a while. And I've seen it all, and I'm very, very familiar with the challenges that most people...
Okay, the story we heard the other week in the paper where the boy talked the guy off the bridge is fantastic. It's all brilliant, all that sort of thing. And, you know, we were all in for a hug and all the rest of it. But I mean, seriously, like, you know, a mental health strategy is what you're kind of looking for and wondering where it could be. We know the HSE is in somewhat disarray, but a small d at least. And you're saying, you know, what the hell is going on?
But I mean, I think even beyond the system, you know, the healthcare system, I think there needs to be a sort of a mindset shift as well, you know, where... If someone is feeling suicidal, they don't feel that is like the very, very last, you know, like the final resort, that they're standing on a cliff face. I mean, think about this, you know, hypothetically, if we thought of depression or feeling suicidal as a kind of a, you know, a flu for the brain or a flu for the soul, you know, and it's like you take 2 or 3 days off and you kind of look after yourself and you tackle it. Like, how, you know, that would be a very much more positive way of looking at depression, as opposed to thinking that it's a life sentence or it's, you know, it defines you as a person, you know.
Well, then finally, Tanya, is this a good thing, even like getting it out there, letting everybody know, people who know, etc., and that you are on antidepressants, that antidepressants are good for you, that the system isn't necessarily good enough, just to even talk about it over the surface as opposed to underneath the blankets last January?
Well, that's why I did it, you know, and I think it's really, people just don't do it often enough, you know, and the dialogue is couched in so much weird language and weird kind of terms, and you need someone to go, you know what, I'm having a fantastic life, but I also have depression, you know, and it doesn't define me. I will go out this weekend, I have so many plans, and, you know, I happen to have this condition, but it's not, you know,
overpowering. That is something I've heard a lot over the last few years. I'm having a great life. This person obviously is, but I also suffer from bouts of, or I have depression.
Yeah. And it needs to just be something that you manage, like a condition that you manage, you know, as opposed to the thing that defines you and the people are looking for in every interaction with you, you know?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Well, listen, Tanya, congratulations. Well done. And onwards and upwards. May the road rise with you. Thanks a million, Tanya.
Thanks, Dave.
Good luck. Take it easy.